Welcome to Virtual Church, hosted by Cayucas Community Church. We're thankful that you've come to be a part of this service, and if it happens to be your first time, we give you a very special welcome. For those of you that have been with us week by week, some of the little introductory comments here are probably becoming very common for you, but I do have a couple of new things. Most specifically, we have now engaged our two prayer meetings, one that meets Tuesday morning, the other Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in the harbor, and we welcome you to come. We have a limited capacity. Things are done in a sanitary and safe way, and it's an opportunity to have some fellowship both with the Lord and with other believers in prayer. You can call the church office if you desire more details on that. We again have some music for you to worship with. It's posted right there underneath the video. If you haven't used that today, I encourage you to hit the pause button, go celebrate the Lord with the music, and then come back and join us for the rest of this service. I also want to thank you again for your faithful care of each other, your prayers, your visits, calls, and cards, and also for your faithful gifts that keep our ministry moving forward. As we come to God's Word today, I would like to ask you to pray with me, please. So, Lord, we come to you this morning. We are so grateful that we call you our Father, that we know your presence and your power in our lives. In this time when we find ourselves often more separated, more alone from others, we are so grateful that you are always present with us. You are always available to us. You are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we keep reaching out to you, Lord, for the grace and the guidance that we need. Our world is troubled, and we pray for it. We pray for our government leaders. We pray for those whose hearts are especially hurt these days. We pray for those who need special wisdom in how to respond to whatever the circumstance of their life is. And especially this morning, Lord, we are just asking that you would guide our hearts and that you would keep us trusting and seeking after you. Direct our response once again to your word by your Spirit, and let us live it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been living in a world that has a lot of conversation about essentials. There are essential services and debates about what is essential and what is not essential. There are advertisements about picking up what you need that's essential for your work at home office if you're doing that. I get all kinds of material about the essentials for virtual church and how to lead a congregation in a time where we're not meeting in our facilities. There are the essential vitamins and minerals that our medical community tells us to avail ourselves of. And then there are sort of the alternative helps, sometimes called things like essential oils. Our service today is brought to you by doTERRA, who will give you all the essential oils that you need for your health and your care. The fact of the matter is there are essentials in life and there are essentials in the spiritual life. And while there are many things going on that we are shedding off, things that we have done that we no longer do, there are those that are core to our being. As we've talked about once before, crisis opens up the core values that are within us. It leads us to discover the things that are actually the most important. And it forces us to ask ourselves as we explore those, then how do we live them out? And spiritually speaking, we are mindful that while a lot of things can be dropped, there are things about our walk with God, being followers of Jesus, that are essential to our ongoing growth and health. Maybe you could think about that this morning and just jot yourself a few notes, mental or on paper. If I were to list out the things that are essential to my life with God, what would I put on the list? Some churches are being cautioned these days that when the restrictions are lifted and meetings begin again in our buildings, that they'll just fall back into old patterns, that we'll just try to go back to church as it was, church as usual. We'll talk more about that in a few Sundays. But if we do that, then we miss the wave of opportunity of new things that have come out of this season. So perhaps one of our life essentials here is to learn the lessons that we have gained in these last three or so months as we've faced situations we've never faced and had to consider how we live out our faith in ways that we've never quite done it before. It's probably a healthy thing for us individually as well as a church to say, how are we going to be different as a result of this season? What things is God doing in our life that even though we may at times feel a bit resistant internally because of the change, are opportunities for our growth and for the expansion of the kingdom? Certainly, there are some things that will be adjusted. There'll be some things that we can't control that will adjust. But there are also things in our walk with God that should never change. And I want to take us to a passage this morning that addresses some of those. It puts us on a trajectory to remember that the core and the foundations of our faith are unmoved. The Word of God is everlasting, and it will continue to fulfill God's purposes. And this is one of the passages that helps us keep our feet on the rock. It's found in a Psalm of David, one that's probably familiar to most of you, and it's the 139th Psalm. We're only going to look at the final two verses. They read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." In these two verses, David provides five requests of God that focus and secure our minds. They are rooted in the wonder and awe that God knows us and that He made us. He unfolds that in the opening 22 verses. And in these verses, which are more like his response to the truths that he's been thinking through or writing about, they focus the heart upon relationship with God. And so we're going to take a few minutes to look at these five statements or requests. We'll discover they're actually even more than that. The first is, search me. It has the idea of to dig in or to discover, to examine or to analyze, to find the essential features of something or the meaning of it. In effect, we could paraphrase this. David is saying, God, do a spiritual exam on my life. Even the part that might be uncomfortable, you know, do the spiritual colonoscopy, do the stress test, do the EKG, do whatever it takes to give a clear assessment of my spiritual health. There have been times in my life when I really haven't wanted to go to the doctor. I feel healthy, I look healthy, I act healthy, I have no symptoms, and I say to myself, I know exactly what the doctor is going to say. He's going to say to me, Dale, you know, things are looking pretty good, but I have a little bit of advice for you. I want you to lose a little weight. I want you to exercise a little bit more. I want you to reduce the stress in your life. I want you to see that your blood pressure comes down a few points, and I want you to stop saying, may I have fries with that? And then the one that he usually doesn't say, but it's all implied, would you please pay my bill on the way out? Spiritually, I've found that I, and I think most of us, can stumble into a similar pattern where we look at ourselves and we say, you know, I kind of have the pulse on my spiritual well-being. I know what my weak spots are. I know what I would probably be advised to address, you know, the shortcomings, and even I'm probably aware of one or more persistent sins or temptations that attacks me. And so I say, you know, I've got my spiritual diagnosis. That's about all I need. But then we may find one day when we actually gain the courage to go visit that doctor that he says to us, you know, there is a condition that I've noted that if we don't take care of that right now, while it's small, it might be something that produces a major result. And then we may say to ourselves, well, I'm really glad I went and let Him check things out. And spiritually, when we invite God into this place of searching out our heart, we are asking Him to help us see ourselves as we truly are, giving Him, if you will, the opportunity to unearth something that we may be ignoring or not even aware of. It's a request to reveal. For me, I know, and I assume for you, it's a courageous thing to ask. It takes a degree of determination. It says, I really want the truth more than I want to hide things about my reality. And I'm willing to change more than I am to defend or deny or ignore the things in my life, in my spiritual walk with God that need some attention. All of these come from David as very deliberate invites to God, that He would come in and do things in his personal life. These are verbs here are actually written in the imperative. They are commands. If you would, David is essentially ordering God to do these things on his behalf. And it's especially interesting in light of the opening verses, because in one sense, David goes through this whole discussion about what God already knows about him, and yet when he comes to the end of it, he's saying, God, I want you to search me, and the next one we'll look at in a moment. I want you to know me. Here's how the psalm opens. David says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you have known me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before. You lay your hand upon me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. And then he talks about how God's presence is pervasive. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So David reflects upon the knowledge and the omnipresence of God. He's around him. He is aware of him. And yet he still takes this courageous step on behalf of his own heart to say, but Lord, for my well-being, search me, dig in, discover what is really there. It's an act of active surrender, knowing that there is a personal spiritual benefit to be gained. Socrates is oftentimes credited with this observational statement about life, that the unexamined life is not worth living. And if that is philosophically true, then how much more is it spiritually? We need to allow God and invite God into this searching role. So I just wonder for you, as I've asked myself this week, and you know, when was the last time that I took a few minutes aside and just said, God, search out my heart, put into my mind the things that you are finding there. And then to say, and how will I respond to that? And if you haven't done something like that for a while, then maybe this is the day or the week that would be wise for you. Sit down, read through the entire psalm, and then come down to these five requests and begin to make them before the Lord. The first one is that He would search me. The second is that He would know me. Now, there's kind of some nuanced overlap in these things. You can't break them completely apart. But if there's a uniqueness to the know me part, it's that God would reveal what is actually within him. So the first is the searching, and the knowing is coming to the understanding of what is found. I think by now most of us are getting fairly sick of masks. We may still be wearing them, but we would pretty much prefer to leave them behind. I don't know how it is in your town or in your neighborhood, but certainly when I'm out and about in a lot of places, it seems people are leaving them behind, and that kind of indicates to me they're getting a bit fed up with it. The advice still says it's a good idea. So, we keep them handy, but we recognize that life for us, at least as we've known it, is not to be behind a mask. It affects our breathing. It affects our comfortability. Interestingly, masks are also used as a way of defining how we sort of hide and conceal things. It's a way that we give an impression of what we want people to see, maybe that's different than how we truly are. To be known is to strip off the masks of our life. So David here says, in effect, God, peel off the spiritual masks of my inner man so that you can know me in fullness. It's a statement of vulnerability. It's a welcoming of a relationship with God at a deeper and deeper level. If you're familiar with the little booklet that was written by Robert Munger called My Heart Cries Home, then you can steal that metaphor and say it's asking God to come and kick open the doors of the closets of our life where we tend to stash stuff away that we don't want others to see when they come wandering into our home. It's a request for the internal. As the following phrase says, know me and know my anxious thoughts. It has to do with that which is down inside, the core of my being. Most of us want to be known, and yet in the process of making ourselves known, we wrestle with a certain fear that once people see who and what we really are, we might be rejected or pushed away. But with God, we don't have to have that fear. As David reveals to us in the beginning, God does truly know us, whether we ask Him to engage in that or not. The asking is more about our human endeavor to share in this with God. But with Him, the unmasking breaks the chains of our life, and we can do so with a confidence and a freedom that it will bring us peace and goodness. Sometimes I have to ask myself, if God already knows everything about me, why is it that I sometimes feel inclined to try to hide that? And we do the same thing with key people in our lives who really need and want to know us, and yet we choose to hide from them as well. So this to me, and I hope to you, is an encouragement that with God, I can say to Him, Lord, I want to open the vulnerability of my heart up to You, and I want to share it with You so that You know me in my deepest places, and I'm fully aware of that knowing process that's going on. So David says, first search me, then know me. And then he says, test me, or some of our translations say, try me and see if there is this hurtful way in me. It's about giving me an opportunity to be approved in the eyes of God. So we could ask ourselves, you know, how many spiritual push-ups can you do? That is, you know, let's do an assessment, at least something that we can attempt to measure about our spiritual lives. And there's two ways to go about it. We can just guess and say, well, of course, I can do 50 push-ups, or I can do 20 push-ups, or I'd rather not do push-ups. But we can also get down on the floor and do as many push-ups as we can, and then we actually know the number. Inviting God to test us is sort of a way of saying, Lord, I know I live with You. I know Your power is within me, and let's look at how that is holding up and how my reliance upon You is actually working out in the realities of my daily experience. How is my resilience under pressure? How am I persevering in the midst of trial? What is my spiritual staying power? Is my faithfulness remaining amid opposition? And am I constant, consistent in the mundane things of life? Am I patient in the places that I need to be waiting? How is my determination, my devotion, my spiritual discipline? All of these things help us to explore what are our spiritual limits and where can we grow. If you do this physically, part of it is usually an assessment to develop some kind of an exercise or development program. So I'm not looking at where my limits are for the sake of shame or for the sake of failure, but I'm looking at it to see what gains I've made and then to assess the opportunities I have to continue to grow and develop. And spiritually speaking, this is a very healthy activity for us. It's one that I think some of us in this time of being in stay-at-home mode have had extra time and probably have already devoted some extra attention to it. But if you haven't, then this might be your moment of encouragement. Ask yourself spiritually, where is it that you cave? When is it that you are most likely to give in to temptation? In your spiritual world, are you a poser or are you actually genuine? And what is the slip point between your convictions and your propensity to compromise? I think we can actually even look at this season in our lifetime of what we call the COVID season or whatever as something of one of these tests. It's allowing us to see, do I really trust God? Do I allow Him to address the anxieties and fears that may creep up in my heart? Am I able to rest in Him rather than to be agitated over the things that are not necessarily known to me right now? And going forward, are we able to rise up to address the challenges? I know I've found some of this in my own heart, even in my ministry quarter of my being, saying, you know, am I willing to see God raise me up to become what is necessary to lead a congregation in a season when we're not meeting together, when our ways and means have somewhat radically changed, to look at and assess the things that are important to us and to use my influence to encourage us to do those things for our spiritual growth and for the good of God's purposes in our lives and in our community. So when I look for God to test me, I'm looking for those places where my growth has come and those places where I see that God wants me to continue to grow. Then David takes yet another dangerous step, if you will, another vulnerable step, and he says to God, expose me. His actual words are, see if there is any wicked way in me. These days, there are a lot of people sticking things in our face, figuratively and literally, guns and cameras, and asking us to confess things. But their mechanism is the mechanism of control and of power and of humiliation. This is a very different kind of request. David is choosing of his own accord, not it being having it pressed upon him in any way from the outside, to root out the unwanted things in his heart, the insidious lurking evil that may hide away inside of us. So I was kind of thinking through, how do you picture this? The idea of purchasing a home came to my mind. When you purchase a home, at least when we've purchased a home, we've usually had a home inspector come in before we finalize our agreement or our offer or at some point in the escrow process. And we ask them to do an in-depth assessment of the property to expose anything that might be out of order that we need to address. So we want them to look at every system of the house. We want them to look at the appliances, at the roof, at the foundation. It's not a request to just poke your head up in the attic and look around and say, well, I don't see any water. You want them up there crawling around, looking into the corners. Is there any evidence of anything that needs to be given attention? And if there is a crawl space under the house, it's not just shine a flashlight in there, it's crawl around the perimeter, see everything that you can see, not so that you can hide it from me, but so that you can tell me, so I have a very clear understanding. And if I find something that's too overwhelming, I may get out of the situation and just say, nope, I don't want to deal with that. Or I may look at it and say, well, this is fixable, so I'm just going to make an attachment to my offer that says, as a part of this sales agreement, this is going to be repaired or improved before I'm willing to execute and purchase. Or It may be something that I say, okay, that's going to be a problem down the road. I just need to plan for it, prepare for it, have resources to address it when it becomes an issue. But by having the examination, I know exactly what I'm getting into, and I've exposed the things that really are. It says to me, I just want to go into this with my eyes wide open. And essentially, David is asking God to expose in him, to crawl the crawl spaces of his spiritual life, to take a spiritual flashlight of truth and shine it around there and see if there is anything that's a bit out of sorts. Take his spiritual nose and sniff around for any spiritual mold or other unpleasant things that might need to be attended to. Take his spiritual poker and go around and hit the timbers of the eaves and other places that might be subject to dry rot or termites. Find out if they're in there so that my spiritual life can be addressed. If there is an evil way in me, I want to know what it is, and I want to be able to address it in the truth of God and by the power of His Spirit. Why on earth would we do this? Why not just try to get away with as much as we can? It's because the holiness of God demands of us that we seek that holiness in our own experience. It's a part of the way we honor and glorify Him, and it's a part of what God is committed to do in us, making us into the likeness of His Son. David knew the cost of hiding sin. We read about that in Psalm 51. You may want to go read that for yourself in this context. What we don't want to do is to trap ourselves into this how much can I get away with mindset and think that that is the course of spiritual goodness and blessing. So we ask God to search us, to know us, to test us, to expose us. And then finally, David says, and then in response to all that you find and all that you make known to me, finally, lead me. That is, I need your direction. I need your guidance. I need a secure way. I need to know your path forward in my life, which he describes here as the everlasting way. In other words, I want to know the eternal ways of God so that I can live and walk in them to the best of my ability as I finish out my pilgrim life and until I enter that everlasting life that God has promised. This is not a request to say, God, I want you to prosper me while I go about doing my life on my chosen way. And unfortunately, sometimes we stumble into that trap. Even our prayers can fall into that. It's like, God, I know which way I'm going. Now, would you bless me in it, sort of thing. Examination in the Scriptures leads to action. And that's what I think we find here in this final command that David gives. He has God searching, looking, knowing, exposing his heart to him. And now he wants to know, how do I respond? We find other indications of this, in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. Jeremiah says to the Israelite exiles, let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. The examination causes a turning around or a returning to the Lord. In Psalm 119:59. We read, I pondered the direction of my life, and I turned to follow your laws. This is because the everlasting way is the way of hope. It is the way of truth. It is the way of joy. It is the way of security. And so as we ask God to lead us in His way, we are putting ourselves in the best possible place to continue our journey on this planet. It almost always begins with a turning or a returning, a confession and a repentance. And whenever in Scripture you turn away from something, it always leads you to turn to something. So in this case, we might say, I'm turning away from my self-willed, self-directed, self-chosen path, and I am turning and returning to the way that the Lord has laid out before me. David reminds us that we are not to be driven in our lives by current events, by politics, by news cycles, by messagings that are being thrust at us all the time, even by unbridled emotion. We are to establish our ways according to God's path. So let the Word of God be your path. Let Him be the wind in your sails or the traction in your tires. Let Him be the wisdom for your mind and the guide for your steps. And make these simple requests a regular part of your fellowship with God. Search me, know me, try me or test me, expose me, and lead me. If you honestly and sincerely devote yourself to this, I think you will find that your life is changing, and it will be changing for the better, because it will be changing into the likeness of Christ and His righteousness. And there is an interesting byproduct that the Scripture tells us as we transform into Christ's likeness. It gives the world a picture of who God is supposed to be in the life of His people. It gives a credible witness to those who don't yet know Christ or who are struggling to walk with Him. And therefore, while this brings first a benefit to us in our personal walk with God, it also becomes a part of our outreach to the world around us that needs to know Jesus. As you begin to pray these prayers, make these invitations to God in your life, I hope that it will become a habit and a pattern, and you will be able to trace the work of God leading you forward. And let's just ask Him together to do that. Would you pray with me? Lord, I ask You to give us the courage to pray these things, to invite You into these spaces of our hearts and minds. I ask You to give us the confidence that it will be for our good. Give us the candor that we will be honest with You and to be vulnerable in who we truly are, to see ourselves aright and to see that You have that partnership with us in our spiritual journey. Lord, don't let us settle for masks and for mediocrity. Keep us seeking that which is excellent, that which is above, that which is Your ultimate desire for us. And we want to join David in this grand adventure. We ask for Your help and Your encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we again have a final song for you. If you haven't checked that out, you might want to drop down. It's an encouragement to just give God the control in our life. This is also the time for our greetings and also for you to connect and comment. There are places there on the website to do that. And if you're connecting with others in virtual church, then feel free to use whatever technologies you have and touch base with a few folks. And until we're back together again, which we're hoping is getting closer, here's a virtual hug reminding you that God loves you and we love you. And if there's any need in your life that we can be a part of, please let us know. Have a great week walking with God, praying these five things.